one December night, over 2,000 years ago, a shining star illuminated a gathering of kings, shepherds, angels, and animals round a baby in a stable. 'Twas the Nativity, and it marked the end of a journey that began on a donkey's back.
Whoa, hold up there, Jeeves.
Yeah. I beg your pardon?
Your Nativity. That's not exactly how it happened. Here, look, let's start with that donkey. Neither of the gospel stories mentions Mary traveling by donkey. And given the 60 miles of rough terrain they traveled, it's more likely they used a wagon.
Minor details. But then the innkeeper informs them there's no room...
Again, the Bible doesn't actually mention an innkeeper. And in the Greek, the word inn refers to an upper room in a house, not an actual motel.
Oh, blast. Look, wherever it was, there was no room. So, Mary and Joseph were sent to the stable. Not in the Bible either.
Now you're catching on. And in those days, most animals were typically kept in a cave.
A cave?
Yepers. So it could have been that instead of a stable, the Bible doesn't really say.
And the Star of Bethlehem?
Duh, that's biblical.
Well, we're actually right for once. It's a Christmas miracle. Okay, so now came the shepherds and the three kings.
No kings. Three kings is from the song. The Bible says magi, which means wise men.
Three wise men? That works.
Well, not so fast. While the Bible does mention three gifts, it doesn't specify the number of wise men that brought them.
You mean there could have been more?
Oh, yeah. A whole posse, even.
With a crowd like that, it's a miracle the baby Jesus never cried.
What, no crying he makes? That's just a lyric from Away in a Manger, not actual scripture.
Well, of course he was crying. You just added a whole crowd of strange men.
Yes and no. There may have been many wise men, but they weren't there that night, you see?
Okay, that's enough. Except for the bloomin' Star of Bethlehem, you've just dismantled the most inspiring image of Christian tradition. So what's your point?
Point? Well, I guess it's this. Even when all of the man-made traditions are stripped away, the eternal truths still remain. Whether they traveled by donkey or wagon, God brought them safely to the birthplace that was prophesied. Whether born in a stable or cave, God provided shelter in a strange new land. Whether there were three kings, three wise men, or many, God called the elect to bear witness and testimony to the birth of Emmanuel. So whether your manger looks like this, or like this, the one thing that remains unchanged is this. A baby boy, born of a virgin, this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Bless you, sir. I'll never look at the miracle of December 25th the same way again.
December 25th? Oh, I almost forgot.
Stop that. Music!
Good evening, everyone. Let's stand together and worship the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He
comes to make his blessings grow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of
that mourns in lowly Ephesus.
Behold your King.
proclaiming tonight your power and your glory. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into this world as a perfect baby, the perfect Christmas gift, the first Christmas gift. Thank you. Thank you for coming into this world to live a perfect, sinless life, to be an atoning sacrifice for the sins of this world. Thank you, Jesus. We just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We come here to adore you tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
Welcome all of you here this evening for this special Christmas Eve service. We look forward to this all year. It's been a journey these last few weeks, hasn't it? Do you remember when it started? We lit the hope candle and we heard some incredible stories from folks who understand about hope. We learned that hope is hanging on instead of giving up. And then we learned about love. And we lit the love candle. Claire was here. She told us about the love story of Shade in Tanzania. And we learned about the power of love and how nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then came the joy candle. Wasn't that awesome? And Sarah came and shared with us about the power of joy, a delight in God that is not affected by pain or by pleasure. And then last Sunday, what was our candle? Peace. Yeah. The peace that passes all understanding, that will guard our hearts and mind in Him. A peace that came to us, a peace that lives in us, and a peace that flows through us. And so all four candles have come to fruition as we've considered the power of these principles in our life. And they're not just candles. They represent our own experience. And they hold hands together. You don't have one without the other. So we celebrate tonight the hope, the love, the joy, and the peace we have. But they all come to one center place. And that's the candle we light tonight. And that's the Christ candle. And I've asked one of our youth to come and just read some scriptures and light that candle for us this evening.
Good evening. I'm Josiah, and I am honored to light the Christ candle tonight. As I light this candle, I am reminded of the many times in John's gospel that Christ declared the truth of his light. He started his gospel with his own testimony in John 1:6. It reads, "There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." In John 8:12, it is recorded, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" In John 9:5, it is once again recorded, "While I am the light of the world, I am the light of the world." John 12:36. "While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of the light." These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. And lastly, in John 12, verse 46, "I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." As I light this candle, I remember 6 years ago when I received this light into my life. I am a child of God, and I will no longer walk in darkness.
Oh, hello. My name is Joseph. You might know me better by my English name, Joseph. I have an interesting story to tell you tonight. It's about the first, what you might call the first Christmas. But I'd like to tell you my side of the story. Why? Because I am the adopted father of Jesus. I come from a rich family, deep family tree. all goes all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And about 28 generations back, I even had David as my great-grandfather. He was king of the Israelites. And David, they were God's chosen people. And God promised David and the Israelites that he would bring forth kings from his family line. And he did. There was Jeroboam, Ahab, Solomon. Some were bad. Some were very bad. But God, it got so bad that God decided to withdraw the kingdom of Israel from the kings, and he sent the people into captivity. But he never once forgot about his promises to David and his people. Even when they decided they didn't want to have anything to do with him, he continued to remind them about those promises through the prophets. Some of them were Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, many others. And he promised them that the next king that he brought to them would be the Messiah. And when he sent the people into Israel to captivity, some of them became slaves and prisoners of foreign nations. Life was very hard for them. But they continued to look for this Messiah that would deliver them. Eventually, years later, those Israelites came back to the Promised Land. But they again continued to look for that Messiah that would relieve them of their oppressors. Now jump forward many years. Enter Joseph, me. I was engaged to a woman to be married. This woman was more than any man could ever wish for. We had long talks about our future plans together. And naturally, children were part of that discussion. I had it all planned out. I'm going to wait 2.5 years to have kids, get a bigger house, maybe a better way to provide for the family. Heard a scribe tell me once, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Our plans completely changed. Mary came to me, and I love this woman intensely and intently. But she came to me and she said she was with child, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm kind of a bullheaded type, and in this particular time, all I heard was with child. And immediately, I began to figure out, how am I going to get out of this with the least amount of pain and embarrassment while still protecting Mary's reputation? Did I mention I loved her? Anyway, I knew the law. I decided to give her a secret decree of divorce and let her go away. It still wasn't easy. Did I mention I loved her? That night, I went to bed, trying to sleep, tossed and turned and tossed. Finally, I did fall asleep to the point of dreaming. And an angel appeared to me and he said, Joseph, don't be afraid. He said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife because she's carrying a child, a male child, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Where had I heard those things before? Oh, yes, Mary had told me. Well, greater still, he said, his name will be Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Well, I woke up and I knew that it had been more than just a dream. I had received a message from the very God himself. And I knew that Mary was still faithful to me. And I knew she was carrying the Son of God. The next morning I woke up, ran to her house, first light, to tell her about the exciting thing that happened to me that night. Bless her heart, she didn't say, I told you, Joseph. But she did reiterate to me what had happened to her, and this time I listened. Praise God. We went ahead with our marriage. Not long after, the Roman rulers decided they would have a census. In other words, counting people. And also the edict said that since you had to go back to your hometown. And since we were from Bethlehem, we had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So I loaded up Mary, and we took off. And it was not an easy trip. Her condition worsened and worsened, and it doesn't matter if she rode the back of a donkey or a cart. We arrived into Bethlehem late at night, and the place was packed. There were so many people there to have be a part of the census. The first place we came to said, no room. But there's a stable out back that we keep the animals in. You can stay there. Well, it was really more of a cave, but it was dry, and it was out of the wind, so we took it. It wasn't my first choice. Soon, the baby came. It was just Mary, myself, and some animals. She delivered a son, just as the angels had told us. I held Jesus. I wrapped him in strips of cloth. I looked in his face, into his eyes, loving him as my own. And all I could do was repeat his name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Soon after, we had a visit from some shepherds. Now, in this day, shepherds were not known to be high society. They were low of the low. But God chose them to deliver this message about this great gift to the world. And so while they're coming telling us this story, Mary and I, this great story about the skies opening up and multitudes of angels proclaiming God, proclaiming glad tidings to all men, peace on earth. I held this Jesus. I looked down and said, could this really be the Jesus that we've been wanting to hear about for years? Yes, he was. He was our Savior, my Savior, our Deliverer, my Deliverer. I was honored and humbled to raise him. And as a carpenter, I taught him the tools of the trade. He was a quick learner, but he went on to do miraculous things, all the while bringing glory and honor to the Heavenly Father, never to himself. He only did those things which God told him to do, say, and teach. Now, we have a choice. We can believe what he said and who he said he was and accept forgiveness, receive salvation, eternal life. Or not. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Who would have thought that the King of Glory, the Son of God, would have such humble beginnings? God did.
This baby of Nazareth is God bringing human bread. Infinite God, an infant so small. Israel's I am, I am. Mercy of all. He's the Ancient of Days now. small Bethlehem, come worship Judah's great lion now lamb. Come worship Judah's great lion now lamb. This human nativity is God now on bended knee. Prescient and wise, now unable to speak, the ruler of Zion, just drawn out to Lion. Once never slumbered, now fast asleep. He's the Ancient of Days, now brand new. Hear the voice of the Creator as He coos. God omnipresent in small Bethlehem, come worship Judah's great lion now lamb. Come worship Judah's great lion now lamb. The ancient of days now brand new. Hear the voice of the Creator as He coos. God omnipresent in small Bethlehem, come worship Judah's great lion now lamb. Come worship Judah's great lion now lamb.
Brad, do a great job. Hey, good Joseph. Let's give him another hand for that. And this is Kara, and I just love her. Her name means joy. And I don't know how they knew when she was a baby that that was a great name for her. But she has great skills, and they went out Christmas caroling this week and went to homes for the deaf and sang Christmas carols on their porch, and she signed and made people cry. They were just couldn't believe that someone would come to their house and would sing Christmas carols and be able to sign for them. We are so blessed. I'm so glad you're all here today. I want to just take a few moments. This is not really a sermon. Sermon means long. This is a devotion, all right, a thought that I want to give to you about someone in the Christmas story we don't hear a lot of, which we've been talking about tonight, and that's Joseph. I often wonder, how important is he in the Christmas story? He's almost like a groom in a wedding. You know what I mean? All the attention's on the bride, right? What she wore and how beautiful she was. And then there's the groom. He's just over there, right? And that's kind of how I feel about Joseph. The scriptures, they contain no account of any words that Joseph ever spoke. Zero. No quotes, nothing. Well, such an important character, wouldn't we have an account of something he said? But no, not a word. But we do have scriptures that tell us what he did. Which is one great lesson from Joseph. It's not about what you say, it's about what you do. And I want you to consider with me from this familiar story that was represented here tonight in drama, but recorded for us in God's Word, a familiar scripture in Matthew, the first chapter. We only have two Gospels that talk about the Christmas story, Matthew and Luke. Luke gives us to us from Mary's point of view, but Matthew more from Joseph's perspective. And I want to read to you, starting with verse 16, where we find these words recorded. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are another 14 generations. The first thing I learned from this story as I read it is that this was not a surprise pregnancy. It had been planned a long time ago. Now, I know many of us here have had the experience, well, that one was a surprise. Not this one. This one was not a surprise. It had been planned for generations, since the beginning of time. And as I read the Christmas story, I realize God is more in charge than you think He is. And the little details that oftentimes perplex us, God is so very aware of them. And this pregnancy was so planned and so prepared for, and we're getting to celebrate that tonight. But then the story is given to us, as we fully will know. In fact, you will probably read the scripture during your family gathering tomorrow, where the scriptures declare, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." The first thing I think of when I think about Joseph, and you know how I think, they're all F's, okay? So you'll be able to remember these, about the attributes of Joseph. The first thing I find about Joseph is he is faithful. He was a faithful man. And the scriptures declare here, do they not, that they came together, and before he knew her, he was a righteous man. Some of your Bibles will say he was upright, but he was faithful. And this was a prearranged wedding. That's the way it happened back then, you know. I know we like to think of, like we think as Westerners, we date and we fall in love. But there were arrangements that were made, and he was betrothed. These weddings were arranged for two reasons. One, to combine assets, and to preserve family posterity. That's why it's not as cold as you think. It worked quite well, actually. In fact, we don't think much about prearranged marriages until you give birth to a daughter. Then it doesn't sound like such a bad idea, right? My daughter's sitting on the front row. She knows about prearranged prom dates. Oh, yes. I would pick out the boy. I'd even give him a credit card with instructions. I also told him, "I will do to you tomorrow whatever you do to my daughter tonight." Hey, it worked. Prearranged dating. The idea of this arranged wedding was tradition. It was a very public thing that Joseph and Mary did. In fact, there were three things that would take place by tradition. There was the mahar, which was the bride price, and Joseph's family would have paid it to Mary's family. And it was kind of like today, if a young man wants to court or marry our daughters, we'd like to think he has a job. And this was proof that there would be provision. Then there was the matan. This was a gift that the groom gave to the bride. He would have already done that with Mary. It's kind of like what we do with a ring. And then there was the kaduba. The kaduba was important because it was a legal document. And they would have signed it publicly. And Joseph would have signed it and made his pledge because he was a faithful man. God didn't just pick him at random. He knew the exact guy he wanted to be the father of his son. And he wanted someone who was faithful. And Joseph fit that bill. And he signed that document. And then by Jewish custom, you would call each other husband and wife, even though you were not together yet. In fact, it might be a year, maybe 2 years, before the wedding ceremony would ever take place. It is during that time that Mary was found with child, before they ever came together. And then verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." You know what that tells me about Joseph? That tells me that Joseph was a forgiving man. It tells me that he was full of mercy. See, he didn't believe yet her story. Can you blame him? What a story that was. And I know Joseph thought in his heart that she had been unfaithful. He knew it wasn't him. Hey, don't look at me. But because he was full of mercy, he wanted to treat her compassionately. Gee, I think that's why God chose him, because he was a man full of forgiveness and mercy. And so he wants to put her away quietly, because he could make it very public. In fact, it would be to his advantage if he did, because then he'd be off the hook. Otherwise, everyone thinks, this is your baby, Joseph. It would be very, very disgraceful for him. He would lose all honor. It would be an embarrassment to him. But no, he puts her before himself. And then verse 20, and while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. He made sure he knew he was part of this family line. This was so significant. You are the son of David. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son. Now I know there's a lot of debate about this. Well, really in the original text it means young woman. Well, read the rest of the text. She knew no man. We call that a virgin. Yeah, it does mean young woman, but the context tells us that she was a virgin. And it says, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Joseph then, as we saw Brad portray for us, he aroused from his sleep as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her to be his wife. You know what that tells me about Joseph? He was a man of faith. He believed God. You know what else happened after that? You know the story, right? He was a man of flexibility. He was. I mean, he ended up going down to Egypt. All their plans they had made, they were all upside down. How many of you, your life is like that? Joseph was the perfect man to be the adopted father of Jesus because he contained these attributes. Even though we don't have his words, we see his actions. He was a faithful man. He was an upright man. He was a forgiving man, full of mercy and grace. And he was a man of faith. And he was flexible. And he believed God. And the last thing we see in verse 25, after he took Mary to be his wife, he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. That's significant. You know why? Because only the father had the right to give the child the name by tradition. And you know when he gives the child the name, you know what it means? He's mine. He's mine. If he's not mine, I'm not going to give him my name. So the father named him. He named him Jesus. We often think of the great sacrifice that Mary paid, but I want you to think about Joseph's sacrifice. Because Joseph gave up his reputation. Because by giving that child his name, he was saying to everyone in that community, and let me tell you, 400 people, everybody knows everything about everybody. And you know what the talk was? Joseph was saying, this is my child. And Mary got pregnant out of wedlock. Do you understand his reputation was at stake? And he was willing to lay it down for Mary. He lost all respect. In fact, I was telling somebody the other day, I noticed in John 8, I was reading the other day, where Jesus was challenging the Pharisees. I never saw this before. And the Pharisees, at first I thought it was a spiritual comment, but I think it was underhanded. And they looked at Jesus and said, we are not illegitimate. They said, why'd they say that to Jesus? Because the rumor was Jesus was illegitimate. And Joseph, even though he disappears from the scene, he taught Jesus the trade. He too became a carpenter. And have you ever thought the stories that Jesus told about fathers, where do you think he got those stories? When he said, when we pray, Abba, Father. I wonder, did Jesus call his father by that name? He told the story of the prodigal son and the father's love. Where did he learn? You think he learned that from his earthly adopted father. I think he was the perfect guy for the job. And even though we don't have any words spoken by him, no quotes I can give you tonight, I can show you his life. He was a man perfect for the job, and God handpicked him. Amen? Tonight, we're going to come to the table. We begin at the cradle, but we end here at this table, the cup and the bread. We're going to invite you. And I don't care if you're a member of this church or not. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we invite you this evening as we usher in this wonderful day called Christmas and the celebration of the birth of Christ. We must pause and reflect upon what the cradle was all about, because if Jesus had stayed a baby, we wouldn't be here tonight. But because that cradle took him to this table and the cross, we celebrate tonight our great redemption in Christ. That's why we've gathered here this evening. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, for what purpose? So he might walk among us and know us and become our Savior. He was the Lamb of God. He was the Lion, but he was the Lamb. And so we celebrate that tonight. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking if you go to church. I'm not asking you if you go down your little checklist of things. I'm asking, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Because if you do, you can come to this table and you will not be turned away. You say, but Pastor, I got sin in my life. You don't know the things. No. You didn't earn your way to this table, and you won't earn your way out of it. It is totally a work of grace. And Joseph, I believe, demonstrated that to us by the way he treated Mary. He was the perfect dad to raise Jesus and teach him these wonderful truths. And so we celebrate that tonight. And we're going to invite you to come. Dip the bread in the cup. Come down the center aisle. You'll dip the bread in the cup. Take it and then go back up the side aisle again. But as you go, we're going to ask you to stop at this table too and take a candle. And I will be at that table and Connie will be at this table to elders and their wives will be up here and they will serve you, and then we're going to give you a candle unlit and you'll make your way back to your seat again. If your children are here with you, and we'll leave this up to you as a parent to decide, we have some glow sticks that they can take. They're safe. We don't have to worry about anything bad happening, and plus they get to take it home with them. And you, when they get back to their seats, when we light the candles, they can break them and shake them. They can even wear them around their neck and take them home. And they'll glow for over 24 hours, let me tell you. And what that means, and we want to be sure they understand, this is talking about the light that's come into the world, and we now become partakers of it. We become that light. And Jesus has said to us, listen, great, there's darkness in the world, but you will be the light of the world. And I don't want you to hide it under a bushel. I want you to set it on a lampstand so all can see. And tonight we're going to start with just two lights, and then we're going to let it spread throughout the congregation. And before we're through the night, this place will be illuminated. And I want you to understand this truth as you do that. I know we talk a lot about how dark it is in the world today, and it is. Can't watch the news and not get a little depressed. What's going on? It's a crazy, crazy time. But I think of the words of the prophet when he said, great darkness will come over the land, and great darkness will come over the hearts of the people. But arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And here's the truth. The darker it is, the more powerful your light becomes. You think your little light's insignificant, but I'm here to tell you it's not. Because your light can penetrate the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome the light. And Jesus was that light that came into the world. And so we're going to light our candles tonight as a testimony to that reality. Amen. I want to pray with you as we prepare our hearts to receive the bread and the cup. God speaking, I know, to your heart. You're just like Joseph. You're just like Mary. God wants to use you. They were just ordinary people. But something powerful was happening. Their world got turned upside down. Nothing happened the way they planned it. But God was at work, and he had a plan. And it's true for your life too tonight. Amen. I want you to receive that reality. Father, we come as your church today, and we come to this table, and we know it started at the cradle, but it ended here for us. And many of us here have come, just like Josiah tonight, We no longer walk in darkness, but we walk in the light of the truth. And Lord, we celebrate that on this special night when you became flesh and dwelt among us. We love you and we love each other. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to stand now and make your way down the center aisle and receive the bread and the cup.
Heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah. 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 A couple came Bethlehem, expecting child, they searched the inn to find a place, for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay was born. Oh, hallelujah. You'll find him in a manger bed, Emmanuel and Savior, hallelujah. Journeyed long for you. Their frankincense and gold and myrrh, they gave in gold and myrrh, they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah. For me and you. my sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was hallelujah.
Christ
with me tonight in closing. You are the light of the world. The town built on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do the people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine on others, and let me see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we have come into this beautiful place tonight. We've praised you and we've glorified you, Father, just like the shepherds so many years ago, Lord. We've come to praise you and to magnify you, Father. And just like the shepherds, we may not understand all that you're doing in our lives. But Lord, we witnessed something wonderful that night. And it's the salvation for our sins. So Father, I just pray that we take this light with us as we leave tonight. And that we may share this with our families, loved ones over the next few days as we gather, and with everyone that's around us, Father. We thank you for this time and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We want to, from the pastoral staff and the elders, we'd like to thank you for coming tonight. And we'd like to tell you that we love you so much. And most importantly, God loves you. And have a very Merry Christmas.